welcome you tonight to our service. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this evening under the sound of his word. Could I just make mention of the offering baskets at the exits as you leave the services? And there is another basket today which is for the Missionary Council, remember our missionary work in these days. Just mentioning the Foster family, the latest report is good from last week. There's improvement in their condition of health, and do continue to remember them at the throne of grace in prayer to make a full recovery. Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. is our missionary prayer meeting. We focus on the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society with our brother Craig Dennison. He will be speaking, and I understand shows a presentation as well of the work. There'll be a special offering for this work on Tuesday evening. Short meeting of committee after the Tuesday evening prayer meeting as well, please. This Friday at 8 p.m, the ordination and installation of Mr. Glenn Wilkerson, one of our licentiates in our Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m. The service is on YouTube. We have forwarded that on the WhatsApp there to you, and the link is there for you if you want to join in. It's the service by invitation only with the restrictions, of course. Next Lord's Day, family worship and communion at 11:30. Meet around the Lord's table at the conclusion. For those wishing to stay for the Lord's table, please bring your own bread and wine. Anyone who hasn't the receptacles for the wine, please pick these up today or see our brother James about it. The doors open at 11 o'clock. The evening services from next Sunday evening until the end of July, that's till the 25th of July, will be drive-in services in the church car park, commencing at 7 p.m. next Sunday evening. Community singing from approximately 6:50, 10 to 7. Prior to each service, there will be hymn sheets and chorus sheets will be provided. I will be the preacher next Sunday evening, Natasha the soloist, and the car park gates open from 6:30. Do invite others to come to these services. We trust that you will come yourself and that you'll invite others to come along to hear the gospel, and that the Lord's blessing will be upon the word preached. Can I mention this book? We've been mentioned over the past number of weeks, Story of Grace, Grief and Grace, Boy Matthew, it's entitled, a wonderful story of how God helped a family and in a more recent grief and also in previous times of grief that they've experienced it. So remember, please, this book, and do put your name down for it. There's a limited number of copies, $6.95, or see your brother Mervyn Steenson about it. I started to read it today. I must admit, it's very, very moving, and I trust it will be a blessing and a challenge to your heart as you read that book, and I trust you will read it and get a copy of it. Pass it on to others as well. I just learned before I came here tonight that our dear brother Gordon Dunn is called into the Lord's presence this afternoon. And so do please remember the family. You know our brother Gary Parks. Well, Gary's daughter is married to Gordon's son, Andrew. And so please remember this family and their loss tonight. I know the family were called earlier today, so I knew things were drawing to a conclusion. Virtually a young man called away into the Lord's presence. So remember that family tonight in your prayers also. There may be one or two copies of the church annual report still available. If there are, please pick them up tonight as you leave the service. Remember all who need our prayers in the midst of sorrow, and pray for all in the midst of illness too. Special prayer request for David and Amanda and Kawanji as they go to link up with their second daughter, and as Kawanji goes to link up with her sister as they travel, God willing, next weekend to Thailand. Pray for them as they go, when they go, and of course as they return and when they return. All of these things, there are challenges along the way, and do please remember this family in your prayers, and we'll keep you updated as they keep us updated in the days that are to come. The space is limited for the children's camp. It's online by Zoom. Children from 7 to 12 years, 10 a.m. to 11:30 each day from the 2nd to the 6th of August. And you can register, and you have to do this by the 30th of June. and the spaces are limited, do this as soon as possible. You get the details for this on the Mission Board website, or ring Glenda, who's the Mission Board Secretary at the office. Also, the news update of Missionary Council is to hand as you leave the services tonight. We're joining the singing of the opening hymn, which is on the screen. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000. To my soul, the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort. In trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care in him to rope. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And we'll keep our seats as we sing, and then we'll stand, if you're able to do that, for the opening prayer, please. Stand for prayer, please. Eternal, gracious Father, we come into thy presence tonight in the peerless name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for thy help in this meeting. Lord, thou hast drawn us into your house tonight. And we thank you for those who have come and those who are listening in to this service. We pray that thou wilt bless all tonight who hear. We pray that they may hear, that their souls might live. We pray for those without Christ, that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Those who are backslidden in heart and life, that tonight will be the night of their restoration. We pray for the moving of thy Spirit here in this place tonight. Lord, for thy servant, we pray that thou wilt help her as she sings, that thou wilt bless her, and we pray that as she seeks to use her talent for thee, that thou wilt encourage her in the Lord tonight. And bless us as we handle thy word. Stand alongside to help. Empower us by thy Spirit. Enable us, O God, tonight we pray. Help us to make much of Christ. Make much of the blood. And grant that souls tonight will enter in to a saving relationship with Christ. We pray for any who are unsure that tonight thou wilt give them the full assurance of salvation. Even as we deal with this particular theme tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray for our land and all its need. Let us know the darkness that envelops this land and this world. We pray for the intervention of God. We pray for the moving of thy Spirit. Visit this land. Visit this world with a mighty heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. Bless our churches, Lord. Little lights in the midst of this land. We pray that thou wilt use those lights to shine light into hearts that are yet darkened by sin. Bless, O God, and meet every need, everywhere the gospel is truly preached, across this world tonight. May souls come to Christ. Bless our missionaries. Think of the Fosters out there in Uganda. Think of our answered prayer in the past 7 days. Continue to answer prayer for Andrew and his wife and little one, that they will all be in the fullness of health and strength soon, and kept in health and strength. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember Amanda and David, Comanche, as they go. Lord, we pray that thou wilt give them journeying mercies, overcome every challenge, every hoop that they have to jump through. We pray that thou wilt go before them, and grant, Lord, that thou wilt protect them, and grant that, Lord, their daughter will be safely united with them, and Comanche's sister to her. And we pray that the blessing of the Lord will be upon this family in the weeks that lie ahead. We commend them to thy care, that thou wilt lovingly and graciously minister to them. Remember those tonight in our congregation who are still afflicted by illness. Pray for thy healing upon them. Those who are waiting for results or have other consultations, Lord, be with them too. Those who are recovering from treatments, that thou wilt be with them and help them and encourage them. Thank you for the children this morning. Thank you for these little ones. A little child shall lead them. Bless them, O God, we pray. Grant that their witness this morning will be effectual for thy glory. We pray, O God, that you remember thy servant who brought thy word. Lord, what a faithful young man he is, overcoming many difficulties. And yet, enabling him today to speak, and many other times too, the message of the gospel. Continue to use Kyle, and Lord, as he witnesses for thee, and as he serves thee day by day, week by week, and year by year. Bless him and his wife and little one too. Keep thy hand upon them. So meet with us tonight. Do us good, we pray, in this house. Remember the Dunn family in their loss. Comfort Jillian tonight. Comfort Andrew and Stephen and Amy. Lord, be with them as a family. May they know thy presence. Lord, there are things we don't understand. We don't understand these things. But further along, we'll understand why. Lord, give that comfort to that family tonight. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now we're glad Naomi's here with us, and she's going to come and bring her first message in song now. Thank you. Thank you, Naomi. May the Lord bless that message and song to our hearts. We'll be hearing from you a little later in our service this evening. We're reading together from the Word of God tonight in 1 John, the first epistle of John, and the chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. And we're reading together from this portion of God's Word. 1 John 5, and reading together from the opening verse. Trust you'll open your Bible at this portion of God's Word and you'll follow the reading of the Scripture tonight. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 13, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. We're turning again to another hymn, and it's on the screen there, number 307 in the book. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath been made known, or why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. We'll keep our seats as we sing, and then after this, Naomi will come and sing her second piece to us.
Our right, our worthy, as
Thank you, Naomi. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless that ministry and song to our hearts tonight. Let's stand for prayer, please. Our gracious, loving, eternal Father, we pray that Thou will bless what we have heard already in this service to Thy glory. And we pray, Father, that Thou will bless us now as we handle Thy word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask for prevailing words in the closing moments of this service for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. I want to focus again on the theme that we've been looking at, great words of the gospel. We come to the final word in this series tonight, and it is the word assurance. The word assurance. What a great word assurance is. We live our lives in the midst of so many uncertainties. Daily we are faced with such challenges. Whether it be in the home or in the wider family or in the sphere of education, in the workplace, or in wider society. And things we thought were absolute certainties suddenly become uncertain. People tell us about something or other in life, and they say to us, I can guarantee that. But can they really? If the circumstances change. But people do want certainty. We hear that continually, don't we? In our news bulletins from day to day. They want assurance about things that affect their day-to-day lives. In the physical, temporal sphere of life. That can be hard to give. Hard to deliver. And sometimes we find ourselves feeling let down when it is not realized. But in relation to the matter of salvation, we can have absolute certainty and assurance. For such comes from the Word of God, not from the Word of man, but from the Word of God, the Word of Him who cannot lie. There are no maybes. There are no perhapses. But there is absolute certainty. Many have doubts about their salvation. And perhaps even tonight this is something which you wrestle with. This lack of assurance that continually fills your mind and gnaws away at your heart. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said this, he doubted the man who never doubted. And so many of us have doubts and fears as we go through life in relation to salvation. But as we come to the Word of God tonight, we look for assurance and we find that comfort and that certainty that you're searching for tonight. And that all of us who are saved most desperately and definitely need. The key word in all of this tonight is the word know. The word know. And you find it here in this passage that we have read from tonight. In 1 John chapter 5, for example, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you take time to read through 1 John, the first epistle of John, you will find there are numerous references that contain the word know or the word knoweth. Now I could do a bit of concordance preaching tonight, but I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to leave it with you so that you can
from the first part of 1 John 1, read through and mark in your Bible or take note of the number of times that the word know or knoweth is mentioned. There are a significant number, I assure you. Now, by going through all of these references, it is absolutely clear that God wants us to know, to be absolutely sure, that for those of us who are His children, all is well for time and for eternity. That you can say with the hymn writer tonight, it is well. It is well with my soul. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, it describes what is happening in this world. And it is exactly what's happening in this world tonight. The word there says, men's hearts feeling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming in the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Brother in Christ in a conversation on the telephone this week was sharing some of these thoughts with me about what people are thinking today and what is happening in this world. And surely this verse sums it up. Is uncertainty the best that God can give us? Certainly not. God wants His people to be sure. Martin Luther said this, the Holy Spirit is no skeptic. And the things that He has written in our hearts are not doubts or opinions, but assertions. Sure and more certain than sense or life itself. God gives us assertions. God deals with certainties. And the one word which should characterize and describe the child of God, the true Bible-believing Christian, is the word certainty. He wants us to know. He wants us to be certain. He wants us to be sure. But you're saying tonight, preacher, how can we be sure? What is the ground of our assurance? Well, the Word of God is the ground of our assurance and of our confidence. God has spoken, and His word can never fail. Look at Matthew 24, verse 35. Listen to these words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The words of man pass away, or they may be recorded somewhere in the history book, but most of them pass away. But the Word of God never passes away. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1st Epistle of Peter chapter 1. Again is another reference worthy of note. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 23 and 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, listen, which liveth and abideth forever. Again verse 25. But the Word of God, or the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. His word, the Bible, the God-breathed word, the revelation from heaven has been written that we may know. Now what may we know? That's the question. What can we be certain about? First of all, He wants us to know the person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed. We're singing about that just a few moments ago in one of the hymns. That is, I know Him. And this is the privilege, men and women, of every child of God, to know Him personally as our Savior and Lord. And how wonderful it is tonight, in the midst of all the uncertainty of this world, that we can know the Lord for ourselves. The one who sits upon the throne, We know Him. How can I be certain that I do really know Him? That He is in my heart and life? Well, make quite sure that you've welcomed Him into your heart. We heard a bit of that from Kyle this morning. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. The Lord knocking on the door of your heart. And we welcome the Lord in. And He says, I will come in. It's one of the great I wills of Scripture, that when we open the door to the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite Him to come in. He says, I will come in. I will come in. And so we come to know Him personally as our own and personal Savior. Do you know the Lord tonight personally? Is He your Savior? But the second thing, He wants us to know purification. He wants us to know that all our sins are blotted out and forgiven. If we are truly saved, then our sins are forgiven. Not may be forgiven, but are certainly forgiven. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, listen to these words. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Doesn't say your sins might be forgiven you. It doesn't say your sins may be forgiven you. No, it says, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. You see, it's not a presumption to believe the word of the Lord Jesus. And He says to every child of God, as He said there in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. There you have the word are again. Are forgiven. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, He died to put away our sin. The Bible says there in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 5 and 6, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to His own way, but the Lord hath laid on Him, made to meet on Christ, the iniquity of us all. You see, Christ died to put away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He bore our sins on His own body on the tree. And when we believe that fact, we receive Him into our life, we have pardon. We have forgiveness. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, the 13th chapter of Acts, verses 38 and 39, we read these words. And again, listen to the words of Scripture and what it says. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, on which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Forgiveness of sins. The Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Whose transgression, whose sin, whose iniquity, whose wrongdoing, whose law breaking is forgiven. The Bible says again in Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Are you sure tonight that your sins are forgiven? Thank God we can be sure on the basis of the Word of God. On the basis of the Word of God. The third thing He wants us to know is this personal transformation that we have passed from death unto life. You see, by nature, we are spiritually dead. The Bible says there in John's Gospel, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. John 5:40. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin, that is Adam's sin, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so there's death because of sin. You hath he quickened, said Paul, Ephesians 2:1, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That's the natural state of man. He's dead. He's dead in trespasses and in sins. But we become Christians, we are brought to life. Life from the dead. John chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. And listen to the Word of God there, what it says. Came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name, which were born, the new birth, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. From death to life, we receive new life. This is the transformation of God's grace. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is this life that the Lord gives? Is it life for a moment? Is it something fleeting? Is it something that is transient? No, friend. It is not something that is temporary. It is something that is eternal. You turn to John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, or 27 to 29, if you want to take in those verses. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord doesn't give us something for now. Just for now, he gives us something that is eternal. The world is looking for, press a button, give me a thrill now. Give me something that will be a fix for now. Something that I will cheer now. Something that will cheer me up for a time. But it doesn't last, friend. But this lasts, salvation lasts. It's eternal. It's eternal. 1 John 5, we read it tonight, verses 11 and 12. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And see this great word of assurance, 1 John 3:14. We know, there you have the word know again. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you know tonight that you've been born again? Do you know? Do you know? You've passed from death unto life. John 5:24, that great verse, says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, my friend, this Bible tonight is full of assurance. It is replete with verses of assurance, with certainties, not maybes, not perhapses, not question marks, no, with absolute assurance about salvation. You can be sure that you're saved. I'm sure I'm saved tonight. I mightn't be sure about many other things, but I'm sure I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God. Now, in this first epistle of John, it's interesting, there are five marks or evidences of the new birth. First of all, in 1 John 2:29, we read, If ye know that he is righteous, ye know. Again, you have this word know. That everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Have you desire to please God? Are you a doer of righteousness? It's the question. Are you a doer of righteousness? And of course, is a mark of a new birth. A person who's a doer of righteousness, a person who's righteous. Then secondly, 1 John 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now people look at that and say, well, I do commit sin, and we all commit sin. But it has the sense of habitually committing sin. Habitually committing sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin or cannot habitually sin because he is born of God. He's experienced the new birth. Do you no longer enjoy sinning? No longer enjoy sinning? Well, if you no longer enjoy sinning, then it's an indication that you are truly born of God. If you sin, and we all do, you will not be happy about it. You will be miserable about it. You will know that you've done wrong. You will be checked about it very, very severely. Annoyed about it. Disturbed about it. Because you're a child of God. Because you've grieved the Lord by sinning. 1 John 3:14. We know, again, you have the word know, that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Do you love other Christians? Oh, we might not always agree with every detail, or we may not sometimes like a certain person's personality. We may clash with them, but we love them in the faith. We love them in the faith. We love our brethren and sisters in Christ across this world. We love the brethren. That's an indicator that you are a child of God. Do you acknowledge his sovereignty? 1 John 5:1. There's another evidence. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe, acknowledge his sovereignty, then it's an indicator that you're a child of God. And then the final evidence in this is, have you power to overcome? 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. We read the verse earlier tonight in the chapter. The power to overcome is given to those who are truly saved by the grace of God. Now, the fourth thing he wants us to know is his loving plan and purpose for our lives. The unsaved person just drifts through life, hoping for the best. And when faced with life's problems and perplexities, as we all are, the unsaved person has no answer to them, no assurance in the midst of such challenges. But the saved person, the child of God, has a very wonderful assurance. I love those verses in the chapter 8 of Romans. And how often we turn to them, chapter 8 of Romans, and the verses 28 to 30. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And listen to what it says. And again, you have it. We know. Oh, it's not only in 1 John we have this word know or knoweth. We have it elsewhere in Scripture. And here's another illustration of it. Here's another reference to it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, in the intention and purpose of God, every believer is already foreknown. Every believer is already predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. What assurance this gives. But particularly notice verse 28, Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for they're called according to his purpose. You read that book about Matthew. All things. Now, it's hard to say that. You've lost 3 of your children. Hard to say that. That's what they're saying. And that's what we all must say, even in the darkest passages of life. The Lord will give us grace to say that. All things work together for good. We cannot understand all God's ways now. But our assurance is that all is well. We will understand one day. As we said earlier, further along, we know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. John 13:7. That's one of the verses again quoted in that book. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And the final thing, we know that there's a wonderful prospect. Isn't this
something glad, something that rejoices our hearts tonight. All that's happening in this world today, moving toward the fulfillment of God's divine will and purpose when Jesus Christ will return again, when he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand one day upon the earth.
In my flesh, he said, I shall see God. What a wonderful prospect. Have you this prospect tonight? Are you saved tonight?
If you're not saved, you don't have this prospect. Thank God you can be saved tonight.
We know that God is working his purpose out in this world. Oh, you get frustrated when you listen to the news, don't you? You read the newspapers, don't you? You get frustrated, but friend, read your Bible. Before you read the newspaper, read your Bible before you listen to the news and after you listen to the news.
Because, friend, it's all in the book. It's all in the book. Don't be getting uptight about what's happening. God has it all planned. God is in control. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. My friend, how great it is to know him.
The prospect!
All my doubts I give to Jesus. I've his gracious promise heard. I shall never be confounded. I am trusting in that word. All I am, I give to Jesus. All my body, all my soul, all I have and all I hope for. While eternal ages rule, I am trusting, fully trusting, sweetly trusting in his word. I am trusting, fully trusting, sweetly trusting in his word. Have you got this assurance tonight? Do you know? It's in the word, friend. You say, I don't feel it. Feelings change, friend. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Not else is worth believing. J.C. Ryle said, assurance is a most delicate plant. It needs daily, hourly watering, tending, cherishing. So watch and pray the more. When you've got it, tend to it, friend. Tend to it. Assurance. No believer should be content with hoping and trusting, said Spurgeon. He should ask the Lord to lead him on to full assurance so that matters of hope may become matters of certainty. Matters of hope may become matters of certainty. You may have heard of Michael Faraday, the distinguished scientist. He was once asked by some of his students as he neared death, what are your speculations now, Mr. Faraday? He immediately replied, speculations? I have none. I'm resting on certainties. I'm resting on certainties. And then he repeated slowly and deliberately the words of Paul we've already referred to tonight, 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Robert Bruce of Kinnaird, after breakfast on the last day of his life, he said suddenly to his daughter, hold, daughter, my master calleth me. At these words, his sight unconsciously to himself failed. He called for a Bible. But finding that he was sightless, he said, turn me to Romans chapter 8 and put my finger on verse 39, and we've referred to it already tonight. Verses actually we referred to it earlier, but this verse, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, he said, is my finger on this verse? They told him it was. Then he said, God be with you, my children. I have breakfasted with you. I shall sup with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And immediately he died into the presence of the Lord. What a prospect. Assurance. Have you this assurance tonight? Are you saved? If you haven't got it, friend, thank God you can get it in this book tonight. Holy Spirit, and do the work in your heart and give you the full assurance, not a partial assurance, but the full assurance of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray thou wilt apply thy word to every heart. Bring some souls tonight to know thee into the full assurance of sins forgiven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to our concluding hymn tonight, and it is that great hymn of assurance written by that lady who was blind herself, Fanny Crosby. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. May God give you that blessed assurance, even as we sing these words, keeping our seats as we sing. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all tonight, tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and then with all who are saved forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, for listening. May the Lord bless you.